the Pintcast. Joining me this week are Joseph, you can follow him on Twitter at I Hate Your Club, and Martin, you can follow him at Heisenberg Camp. It's a pleasure to have you on, gentlemen. It's great to have you on for the first time this season. Martin, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. It's good to be here.
Yeah, so were you ducking us until Arsenal finally won a match? Is that what you were
doing?
Until
they scored.
Couple weeks? Until we finally scored some goals?
Yeah.
Like, you know what? They scored five goals. I want to be on a podcast.
That's right. I mean, that's not inaccurate.
Fair. I'm on to you. But yes, it's been a good week with a couple resounding victories. There's a lot more nice stuff to talk about after, by comparison, the past couple weeks. That's for damn sure. So
yes,
a nice little victory over Tottenham in the North London Derby with Flamini doing probably the only good thing he'll do all season with the brace there, you know, there then limping off after 20 minutes with the pulled hamstring or something like that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Next match. He and Arteta, right? Isn't Arteta a muscular doubt now as well? He's out for the match in the Champions League, I believe.
Gosh, is that right? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, he's out. Yeah. He's like a little strain. So the antiques, the over 30 crowd have shown that they can only play one match about a month.
That's all right. They're wrapping up Coughlin's knee right now. So yeah, be prepared.
Shit, I would. God damn it! Why do we have to fucking fuck up that match against Belgrade or whoever the fuck we played? What were they called again? Partizan
Belgrade.
Yeah. But Olympiacos at home. That's going to be exciting. But let's stick to the Premier League action for now. Big win at the weekend. I guess formerly undefeated Leicester. Joseph, I'm going to take it to you. Your boy Theo probably had one of his best games at center forward for the club. What say you?
Well, I mean, you give a guy a few starts and he's probably going to improve at a position that he's still, I think everybody agrees with, is learning. So hopefully his run continues. I mean, I think he'll start again. Well, he for sure starts tomorrow, because Giroud is suspended, right? And then I suspect he'll start against United also. So hopefully he continues his run, and hopefully he scores. I mean, he's been scoring it, you know, every match, so just keep it going. But I thought his movement was great. I thought his run was great. Not everything was great, but, you know.
Right. I mean, he's still Theo.
He's still Theo. He's up top, but I've seen plenty of strikers make horrible decisions with the ball this weekend. So I think this is just what happens. You know, they try things hoping for things to come off, and some of them work and others don't. His goal was nicely taken.
Yep.
You know, you really can't ask much more than he brought at that point. And I would have liked to have seen him get another goal, because I think the opportunity was there.
Sure.
But he didn't need to, because he had some help.
Yep. That is very, very true. So we finally saw the return of Alexis Sanchez back to his, I don't know, what would you call it? His best, really. I mean, of course, it was always going to be that type of goal to, you know, break his duck, something simple like that at the back post. Martin, how do you feel about Alexis returning to form?
Well, it's great. I mean, I think he's if he's not the best player on the team, he's one of the two best players on the team with Ozil. So, frankly, I mean, I agree with everything Joseph said. I think Theo had a great game and is a really good fit for a match like that where the opponent plays a high line. But Arsenal doesn't really have that one superstar striker in terms of a finisher who's going to give us 20 or 30 goals or whatever the magical benchmark is. And so we really need guys like Alexis to step up and score goals. It'd be great if some other guys did as well, Ramsey and Ozil and Cazorla, but Alexis is the one guy you look at who's not an out-and-out striker, but who can give you a lot of goals and who I think we can count on to give us, you know, 10 or 15 goals. And so it had been a little concerning so far the season that he just had looked a little off the pace. His finishing hadn't been great, and so it was really just magnificent to see him come out and terrorize Leicester like he did. And that's what he's capable of doing. And when he does that, it draws so much attention from the opponent, and it opens up so many things from other people. And just, I mean, what can you say about the guy? He's so much fun to watch, and he's so damn good. I'm just so glad he plays for Arsenal, and it's just a real pleasure to get to watch him when he plays like that. So,
yeah, and it's great to see him. Like you said, once he builds a head of steam, you know, like you said, it was a scrap goal that, you know, that he put away to get started. But after that, you know, he was full of confidence. He jumped like a fucking salmon out of the river, whatever, to go up for that header for the second goal. And then, you know, we've seen it. A striker full of confidence goes up, and then he bangs that next one in because you're on cloud nine. You know you're on your game. So long may it last. And, you know, many of us expect that once he got on the score sheet, it'd come in burst, you know, considering his style and whatnot. And once he's full of confidence, it's the best thing possible. So, you know, I would expect him to have a great deal of impact over this coming week because hopefully it continues. You know, Olympiacos is definitely a match where we need to get back on, the right track in the Champions League. But Leicester were not a joke. I mean, look, they were quite the tough opponent in a certain sense. They were clinical on the break. That goal from Vardy was very good.
Yeah,
very
it was.
Good. And that's more, you know, you really have to look at considering him to be really a significant part of this England setup if he continues to play like this. I mean, his form is as good as anybody at the moment, right? What does he have, 5 goals and 6 or something like that? Or what? He's got something around there, 5 or 6 goals. So,
and they hit the post twice.
Like you said, you know, right before the first Arsenal goal, right? It came right off the rebound of a shot that, you know, that looped up and hit the crossbar. You know, and that easily, that, you know, a couple inches from going in, and then who knows where the fuck we're at. So,
right.
So, yeah, I mean, that game was balanced very carefully for a little while, and then we started to get the run of it and got some nice goals. So, but it was good to see, you know, we haven't had – it's the first match of the season we've scored more than, what, 2 goals?
Yeah.
Right?
I think that's right.
And, you know, that's – it's not that crazy that we go on a run with, like, some low-scoring games, but you expect to have a few of these peppered in, you know, and the fact we've scored so few goals so far this season, it's just been the big issue, right? The most shots and the most shots on target and the lowest conversion rate or next to worst conversion rate. I mean, that's unacceptable from an Arsene Wenger team, really. But I mean, look at the league now. We're at it's an interesting position to be in. I mean, we have so much has changed, and you know, a couple of weeks ago everyone was crowning Manchester City, and now it's all up for grabs. I mean, look, we beat United this upcoming weekend and we're level at the top. I mean, that's always, you know, considering whatever else happens the other matches, but you know, we'd be tied with the league leaders as, you know, who are at the top of the table as of today. It's going to be a little crazy. What do you think, Joseph? Are you, is the title challenge back on?
No, the title challenge is not back on, but I guess okay, we're not
well,
out of
once,
it.
Once we, once we beat United it. This weekend, we'll be in the title challenge. Is that right?
I'm not talking title anywhere near October, early October. You know, you start about, you know, a good 10 games in, we start to get, you know, we get out of the people who started off really hot tend to cool down by about 10 games in. And some of the other teams that didn't start off so well will, like we usually do, will rise in the table. You know, when we get about December, then we'll talk about, you know, title. Until we can get through the December fixtures, I don't think anybody should be crowning anybody, especially now, because no one's going to run away now that City have faltered and looked vulnerable and they have injury issues. I think we see what their squad is not as head, you know, far and above everybody else's as people thought before. So
I think the parity in the table just means that it's just completely wide open, though, because you can't put really anyone as a favorite now. I mean, I guess City, really? I mean, that would just be my. If I had to bet on somebody at this moment, I think that they would have the highest probability. But
yeah, but I don't know. Behind them, I think Manchester United and Arsenal would probably be pretty close.
Sure.
And I
think Chelsea would probably still. I mean, they're still not that far behind, I think, because of their pedigree of
they'd probably
still be right there.
I mean, they're going to come back, but it. I mean, the most encouraging thing for Arsenal so far, and I think Joseph's right that I don't know that it makes. To talk about serious title stuff at this point, you know, there's just too much left too many stories left to unfold. But I do think it's very encouraging for Arsenal so far that every other team seems to have like pretty significant flaws. You know, this does not seem to be a year where there's, you know, like where there's a 99 Manchester United or a 2004 Arsenal or, you know, whatever that 2006 Chelsea team was. You know, I mean, there just doesn't seem to be a great team that's going to write their names in the history books as one of the all-timers that's only going to lose a game or two. You know, I mean, those teams just don't exist this year. So I do think it's going to be pretty wide open unless somebody just really hits a vein of form that can last for a long time. But I don't see that happening. So, I mean, Arsenal are not out of it by any means.
I think what it's going to come down to, I mean, you know, the big thing that's been disappointing so far this season is once again we've failed to turn up in a big game. I mean, look, regardless of the fortune, you know, like it was not fortuitous that all this bullshit happened in the Chelsea match. But, you know, we will remember it, that's for damn sure. But, you know, no one's going to remember that, you know, come later that's the reason why Arsenal lost the match. All it's going to look at on paper is that Chelsea beat Arsenal again 2-0. And but we have another chance here to right the ship. I mean, you got Manchester United at the weekend. I mean, what more could we ask for? You know, I really wanted to see us. You know, we beat United in the cup last season, and that was a great victory doing that at Old Trafford. But you know, we could have built on that and beat them again when we faced them again, and we didn't do it there. You know, this is a real.
I was at that match actually.
Oh, you were.
Yeah.
So what the fuck? Why didn't you give them the memo?
Actually, I tried what my the best. Hell? Theo got that sort of goal, sort of own goal.
We have this huge opportunity though. Go on, Joseph.
Honestly, for me, it's a must win. This one to really, when we talked 2 years ago, this is where it needs to build. There's really no excuse why we don't beat them.
Yeah. And we're at home. So, I mean, the onus is on us is to go out there and make a statement, you know?
Well, I mean, they're going to come and try to control the ball. Like they go to do and stifle everybody now, but I think it's going to be a real battle. I don't, you know.
I mean, they're not. Battle. I mean, it's going to look if they can do it, that's going to be impressive. I really hope they don't. I mean, who comes to the Emirates and dominates the ball against us? Not too many.
Not too many.
I don't think
Bayern Munich.
Look, and yeah, exactly. I mean, this United team is just
Schweinsteiger.
Oh, man, Schweinsteiger's legs, man. He's not quite Arteta, but you know he's not what he was. I love the guy. He's a very talented professional, but I just don't, you know, his legs, man. But it's gonna be interesting, man.
I mean, I think this is a game we should win because I think we're a better team than them. But I am worried about the midfield situation with Flamini injured and Coquelin injured and Arteta injured. I'm not sure who's gonna be back and.
Coquelin will be back.
Okay, well that's good, and I think he needs to have a good match because, you know, I think Manchester United has a lot of problems, but they do have a lot of like pretty solid kind of ball holding midfielders that they can throw out there, and I just worry that we do need somebody in there to break up possession and get the ball back, which I'm not sure is going to happen if Coquelin doesn't play a good match. But you know, this would be a very frustrating match to lose because I think they're there for the taking. I don't, depending on how good this Martial kid actually is, you know, I don't know that they have a ton of goal scoring threats. And it just again, I think after last season beating them away in the cup, it seems like that mystique is gone, that monkey off the back that we can't beat them ever, and so. It seems like this is the statement match that we need to win and get rid of that once and for all. And like you said, if we do it, then we're very much right back near the top of the table.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. We'd be level with United on points if we win that match. And it's time to make a statement. I mean, look, Martial has been, you know, pretty good. He's obviously had quite a sensational start to his Manchester United career. I mean, he doesn't look anywhere near the final. You know, the final product, but you know, we saw him, look, he faced us with Monaco last season and he gave us a hard time. So he's going to be tough. He's going to be a tough proposition, you know, and Rooney's found a little bit of form. So, you know, they're doing well going into this match. They can't really make any excuses. You know, this is about as coherent as they've been playing since Louis van Gaal has been appointed as manager, you know, because they really looked like dog shit for most of last season. We're scraping out wins. You know, they're starting to put it together, but still, this team is nowhere near the great United teams we've seen of the past, and there's no reason why we shouldn't be making more of it and handling them, and, you know, maybe not handily, but, you know, what's interesting for me, I don't know, like, it's the Champions League match is so vital against Olympiacos as well, but in a game like that where, you know, you expect Arsenal to have the lion's share of possession, you know, we're talking, you know, 60%+ likely. I mean, that's how it's generally gone against Olympiacos when we've been at home. you know, maybe you leave Coquelin out, even if he is ready. You know, they said that he should be available for this Champions League match, but, you know, maybe you rest him because you don't want to aggravate anything and you really want him for United. I'd be tempted in a match like this where you have all that possession to go with something else. But then the question is, what do you do? I mean, Joseph, do we go with Ramsey and Cazorla in the double pivot there?
Yeah, I think you pull Ramsey back and you give Ox the width, because we're going to need a little bit of width with you know, because they're going to pack the whole midfield in anyway.
Totally,
if we're going to have that much. If we, you know, we I think we've discussed before when we're going to have that much possession. I'm not, you know, Coquelin. Is there a need for him? These are the matches that he probably isn't needing. I don't think he's going to be ready for tomorrow anyway. But so I think resting him or him not being ready is going to work out that way. Kind of, I'm not sure if it's going to be that he's not really ready or resting him, but I think he'll be saved for Man United.
And I think that would be a relatively wise plan. But you know, the thing is, you look at how much we rotated for the Champions League match. You know, and you know, not all these Champions League matches we're going to rotate the way we did, like we did at Partizan. But it's all, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. You know, you rest him and you get a result. It's a masterstroke. Even if, you know, but if he fucks up, regardless of the fact that everybody agreed that it's best to rest him here, it'd look, you know, it'd be looked back upon with scorn, even if that would have been the decision you would have made. So it all matters if Arsenal perform on the day.
And I actually don't think that famous last words, but I don't think Olympiacos is very good. If history is any guide, it just feels to me like this is the kind of match we usually come up with a big win in.
Yeah, at home after a blunder to start the Champions League, we usually get back on track.
Well, we have no choice. We have to get back on track. Yeah. So I mean,
so who do you see? So Joseph, who do you see? Anything odd in the lineup tomorrow? I mean, so if you predict that double pivot and knocks out wide, anything else? So Theo up top for sure, since Giroud is suspended. So yeah. I guess the team kind of picks itself. Do we go with the first choice back five? Who's going to play in the back?
Yeah, I think Mertesacker starts. I think it's Koscielny and Mertesacker. I think it'll be different for the weekend, but I think that's what I see. Well, I guess the other – you could bring Gabriel if you want to make sure that his confidence is okay going forward after, you know, just the scrutiny of the last week. So, I mean, that could happen. I don't think – I'm not worried about – when we have these three now, I'm not worried about who he has in there anymore, really.
But so what
as
about
far as the three center back?
But so what about? I mean, so if that's the same, so you're planning on us probably playing our first choice fullbacks? Then are we going to see?
Yeah, I think Debussy's going to play.
Look, I did not have anything against Debussy until recently, but he's really looked kind of like shit. Past couple performances, I mean, not complete dog shit this last time, but it wasn't. He hasn't made a case for himself to go back to being first choice. I think that's pretty clear.
Oh, I guess it's just how much he depends on how much the manager wants to risk, right? The risk of bringing in Debussy and leaving out Bellerin
but what about
doesn't work out.
So, I mean, you think maybe Kieran Gibbs will get a run out at fullback, or are we going to be Monreal and Bellerin?
It sounds like Joseph and I have different ideas about this, but I kind of think Wenger's going to do something similar to the to what he did against Belgrade. It wouldn't surprise me to see Gibbs at all. I just think, and again, maybe it's the wrong move, but I think he wants to make sure that, you know, the big horses are healthy and rested for Manchester United. And I think this is not particularly concerned about. Maybe this is the Titanic about to hit the iceberg, and it's too much hubris. And maybe I'm just speaking, you know, maybe this is just my view that I'm not that worried about Olympiacos, because I do completely agree. If Arsenal doesn't win this match, it's really hard to see a path out of the group. So in that sense, it really is.
And I don't want to get acquainted with the fucking Europa League. All right, we do not cover the Europa League on the podcast because Arsenal have
never spoken about it.
The fucking Europa League, and I don't want that to change.
I don't know how many fucking rounds there are.
I don't want to know
what the format is.
I don't want to know. Thursday nights are not for Arsenal. I believe it's Spurs day. But Arsene did something kind of funny as well, which isn't the way he's normally rotated. So what we've done in the past is that the cup keeper plays in the other cups, right? The FA and the Capital One Cup. whereas Ospina came in and played in that game against Partizan. Do you guys think he's going to stick with Ospina, or does he go back to Czech? Because, you know, for all intents and purposes, before, the primary keeper plays in the top two competitions, which is Champions League and Premier League. Martin, who do you think will be in between the sticks, Czech or Ospina?
Yeah, it's a good question. And that was such a weird thing, because obviously Czech doesn't need to be rested.
Right.
I'm going to guess Czech, but it really wouldn't surprise me if it's Ospina, although it's not a rotation I understand at all, but.
Nor that, yeah, I like.
Yeah, same. I mean, I just, it's just a little strange to go out. You know, Czech was our big summer, our only summer acquisition, and a big upgrade on what we had, and to essentially bench him in the Champions League, which is the competition that has eluded Wenger all these years, and he wants to win more than anything else, it would be downright bizarre. But so I'm guessing he's going to play Czech, just because, you know, not that it was really Ospina's fault, but that it backfired in Belgrade, and I think he understands that this is a match he's got to win. And I do think there'll be some rotation, but I just think Czech needs to start. But like I say, I don't understand a lot of what Wenger is doing with some of these things. So it wouldn't totally stun me if it was Ospina instead. But I think it should be Czech, and I think it will be Czech.
Agreed. I think I will agree with you completely there. Joseph, your thoughts? Who's going to be between the sticks?
Ospina will get the start.
Fuck.
I mean, everything you said just absolutely, yeah, it makes no sense, but. Rozicki's still on the payroll, so there's lots that doesn't make sense. So
we have what? Did Alexis ever win the Champions League with Barcelona? Was he there the last time they won before last year? I don't think so, huh?
I don't think so.
I was going to say, so the only Champions League winner we have in the squad is Peter Cech. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he should play.
Yeah, I totally agree.
he's the guy who took Chelsea to win this title once before, and the Europa League. Not that we know about that, but yeah. Well, so that's that. But yeah, look, I'm with you. Like, I think the front six kind of picks itself, because there isn't really another option to throw into midfield, like you said, other than the Ramsey and Cazorla, like double pivot, you know. Unless you're going to put in Coquelin, but I mean, why risk it if we could have 65% possession? I do think we might see some fullback rotation, but I don't know. It's just kind of weird, man. I mean, he always, as of now, he's been when he switches one, he switches the other as well. You know, I'd be totally okay with seeing Bellerin in there with Kieran Gibbs on the left, but I mean, who knows? Does that throw us off in terms of balance? I don't know. Do you have to harness him in because Bellerin goes up more on the right side? I'm not really sure how this really works out best. So, interesting position. Well, anyways, around the Champions League elsewhere in, we'll say, our group, Bayern are taking on Dynamo. It's hard to see anything other than a Bayern win considering their recent form.
They better win. They better smoke them too.
Yeah, is that what we're counting on, the Bayern to run the table?
Yeah, I mean, yes. That gives us the best opportunity to still make it, even though we might still have a hiccup or two left in us.
All right, so Lewandowski's got to score at least 5 in like 10, 20 minutes.
Sounds great.
That's okay.
I mean, hell, Neuer can score for all I care. I just need to run the score.
Yeah, that's. It's going to be interesting, man. They're going to handle business. They're at home. You know, Zagreb have that record at home themselves, but that's not likely to do them any favors in Germany, where they probably put up – what was it last year? Bayern got held to like – it was like 0-0 or something at halftime in one of those, and they put up like 7 on a team.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I forget who that was, but yeah.
Yeah, one of those, Bate or Borisov, you know, some fucking team out in Estonia or something, and they held them until halftime, and it was like 7 goals in 20 minutes or some shit. Absurd. Chelsea have a tough test. They have to go away to Porto. Not an easy place to go to. I mean, Jose knows that place quite intimately himself, and I mean that in every which possible way. Don't really know what that means, but just, you know, use your imagination.
We're just going to go forward with it.
Yeah, just take it. I mean, but they fucking really need to bounce back. Joseph, do you think Chelsea are going to be able to get a result over in Portugal, Porto?
No, I don't. I think they're going to lose 2-1.
Yeah, that's
bad. I mean, because Porto's really good at home.
Yeah,
no joke. They got a decent lineup. I'm sure their league helped them in their fixture beforehand. You know, I'm sure all these things went in their favor.
Sure, they probably played on Friday last week.
Right.
That's what Germany does for these guys sometimes. Bastards.
I think Porto wins 2-1. It's not going to be a blowout or anything embarrassing, but I just think that they're going to win. And which is great. I don't care how they win. I just want them to win.
Yeah, I see a 1-1 draw. Martin, any thoughts on Chelsea there?
I think Chelsea's going to win 2-0.
You guys both suck.
Fair.
Hey, look, I have tempered expectations. A 1-1 draw is a great result for them dropping points. So
I have a sinking feeling Chelsea's going to have a really great Champions League this year. Like, this just feels like the year they won it when they were so bad.
Did they finish seventh or sixth? Sixth. Right?
Oh. Yeah. It just feels like this is one of those weird things where they perform poor domestically, but do well in Europe. And I just think, you know, if there's any match Mourinho wants to win, I think it's going back to Porto and winning in front of the old crowd.
Because that was obviously the bump
he came up with. And yeah, so I just have a sinking feeling they're gonna and it's gonna be off a shitty goal and they're probably gonna get somebody sent off.
It's gonna be Diego Costa, right? And like injury time, because he can play in the Champions League because he has a domestic ban.
Right.
So he's absolutely gonna start this match.
Right.
Yeah.
I hope I'm wrong, but that's the way I think.
I've got that sinking feeling. I think I'm with you, unfortunately. That's gonna be Diego Costa to lead them to victory, of course. Because of course it'll be him. Of course. In another group we have Barcelona facing against Bayer Leverkusen. Barcelona without Messi now for what, 6 to 8 weeks? And they're estimating his return to be just in time for the Clásico, but it's a big blow, you know.
He's probably not even hurt. He's probably just being rested for 8 weeks.
Right.
Could be in court. Actually, he'll probably be in court for the next 8 weeks.
That's true. It could be that. It's all.
he might be a witness for Neymar or now. Who else got?
Shit, he's hoping they don't roll over on him and be like, "Yo, this is where I learned how to evade taxes."
Right.
Leo taught me everything. Shit.
Yeah, did Barcelona hire Wesley Snipes to advise the players on
no shit,
finances?
Right?
Like, what's going on?
Yeah, that's
really weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Some scandalous shit, these crazy Catalans. I don't know.
It's all the South Americans, though.
But, yeah, weird. Weird. But Barcelona, you know, it's hard to feel bad for them, as of course Joseph would absolutely know. Even if you love football, you hate to see Messi out. But I mean, for you, anything that hurts Barcelona puts a smile on your face. So, but I think they're gonna have a little too much for Bayer Leverkusen. They have not looked great so far this season. You know, not really living up to the whole Champions League standard as of yet. Do you anybody think that Barcelona won't get a result against Bayer Leverkusen?
No,
they'll easily win like 3-0 or something. Yeah, I mean, Leverkusen really came out pretty shitty last match day, I believe.
I think I really think this is going to be a period of time where we're going to see. I mean, really, we're really going to see Suarez shine for the next month or two. You know, because I mean, it's basically now him and Neymar, but he's the dominating personality out of those two, and. Yeah, I think he's going to be on fucking fire. So I'd expect at least 2 goals from Luis Suarez tomorrow.
I think he's going to bite right through that defense.
Yep, as only he knows. Yeah, but there's a few other interesting matches. I mean, we have Man United facing Wolfsburg. Wolfsburg, who looks so good for a half against. Hopefully, they can bring their first half performance from that match against Bayern Munich, and not the second half against United. But that's a challenging test. I mean, look, they looked really good for a while. You guys feel like United's going to have a nice warm-up for our match and handle stuff? What do you think, Martin?
Bentner hat trick. I'm calling it right now.
Bentner hat trick. Yeah. Hell yes.
Wolfsburg is going to win 4-1.
All right. I'm just going to take that at face value and just leave it there.
Take it to the bank.
I'm taking that prediction. I love it.
Let's not. I won't even comment. I don't want to bring that one down. Let's just go forward with that.
All right, we can go with that. We can leave that one there. Then other stuff around. I mean, there's let's see, who else? City have, who the fuck is that that they're playing? Mon something. I don't even know who the fuck this is. Let's see. Borussia Mönchengladbach, who haven't looked that great either. So they're taking on City. So who are City missing? You said they have some injury problems. Who's any of you guys off the top?
I don't remember. I was just reading. I was just a summary that they were having injury problems. I didn't look to see who the problem was, though.
Yeah. Well, so it's Borussia Mönchengladbach, who I believe. Actually, I just won't say. But that's an interesting matchup. City, you know, having lost that match to Juventus, you know, after Juve has not really done much in the domestic campaign, losing to Napoli at the weekend, but they brought their best performance of the season against City in the first round. Juve have Sevilla this time around, which is a pretty tasty matchup because Sevilla they're no fucking slouch. You know, I know Mönchengladbach put a few past them in the first round, but it's exciting stuff, man. So not too many big highlight matches. I believe round three is you know, match day three is when we're going to really see the big boys go against each other. So we're gonna have all the ones versus twos, which will be a very exciting week. But you know, the Champions League's back, man, and I'm excited. Do you guys feel confident? I mean, about, like, if Arsenal get this win, do you guys think? I'll go to you, Martin. Do you think that Arsenal will use this hopefully a victory against this team in Olympiacos to spur them on to really do something in this Champions League and get out of this group?
Well, those are two different. I think those are two different things, I guess. Like, I mean, yeah, I think Arsenal are going to get out of the group. You know, I think it's going to take 8 to 10 points to get out of the group. But as Joseph said, and I totally agree, I think Munich is just going to steamroll people in this group, which I think is good for us. But, you know, I think the math works out that we win the two home matches, the one against Zagreb and the one against Olympiacos. That gets us to 6. And then, you know, I think the big match is going to be going to Athens. Yeah. And if we can win that, I think we're through, or at least get a result out of that and try to steal a point, maybe at home against Munich. But I think one of those things is going to work out, but I think we're going to win the two. I think we're going to beat Olympiacos and Zagreb at home, which gets us to 6. And then we just need to, you know, get a result or two out of the other two. But so I think we kind of eke through again. And then, you know, after that, I'm just worried it's going to be the same old story. I mean, I guess it's the luck of the draw as to who we get.
Right. But, so when we draw Barcelona or Real Madrid in the round of 16, and then it'll be a quick exit.
Yeah. And I said this on Twitter and got a bunch of flack for it. I get the sense you guys disagree too. But I'm just so tired of that, like going out in the round of 16. It, you know, it's really getting old. And it's certainly not what I'm rooting for, not what I'm hoping for. But I don't know that it would be the worst thing in the world for me if we made a deep run in the Europa League. If for some reason we finished third in the group and got knocked down. I mean, maybe it's just that I'm looking for something different. But Arsenal have kind of sapped me of my excitement for the Champions League. Honestly, it's just. I feel like, and maybe it's that we draw the same teams year after year, but it just feels like Groundhog Day for the last 5 or 6 years.
I'm with you. Like, I have that sentiment about wanting to see them go deep in a tournament. And, like, as much as I think it could be okay to do it in the Champions League, I mean, in the Europa League, it's just that, like, if you could get this one fucking victory, you know, because we've come so close and been, you know, one Bentner miss against Barcelona, you know, and the, you know, you get close against Bayern and you do all this different shit where you have a chance to go through. We have to stem that tide and make one of these and have that kind of result, you know, because even if it is only the round of 16, you know, and then we end up getting knocked out in the quarterfinals. I mean, just the rush that we get from winning that match. Like, I still can't remember much in the past decade, almost the past decade, really. At least since we've been in the Champions League final, that gave me as much excitement as, like, you know, when we beat Barcelona in that match, you know, what was it, 5 years ago, whenever it was, that we won that Champions League match? I mean, that...
Yeah, the Arshavin goal.
Yeah. And I mean, granted, yes, that still wasn't enough to put us through, but, you know, that, like, that level of excitement, but to have that, if you had that feeling at full time from the actual fixture overall, you know, what that could do for the team just to win one of those, right? Because then you have the wind in your sails and you've knocked off one of the heavyweights.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I mean, there's not certainly nothing, even winning a Europa League final, like, wouldn't compare to, you know, a big knockout round victory over a big team in the Champions League. But it's just weird. It, you know, Arsene Wenger's record in the Champions League is sort of genuinely bizarre. It's almost impossible to replicate because his record of qualifying for the Champions League is fantastic. And his record of getting out of the group stage, always getting to the group stage and getting out of the group stage is legitimately unparalleled. I mean, nobody can match that. He does it every single year. And, you know, no other managers can do that. And it's just, it really is actually a pretty fantastic record. But I think this is right. He's only made it to the semifinal twice, right? The team that made the final, that lost to Barcelona, and then when we got knocked out by Man United in 08-09 or whatever, Karen gets. And so, you know, for somebody to get through the group stages as many times as he has, with as much talent as he has, and I guess I'm just talking about Arsenal here, obviously, because he did make that one final with Monaco, right?
Right.
So just with Arsenal, it's just weird that he could be so consistently good, or, you know, at least consistently solid in the early stages of achieving that objective, getting out of the group. But really, I mean, his record with Arsenal in the knockout rounds is really pretty abject, I think.
But it's pitiful.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing, though. Like, over the past, like, when in the last 8 years has this Arsenal team been amongst the best 8 teams in the world?
Hasn't been. Not
right.
Even close.
So, I mean, it's not like the difference is, like, so, you know, the 2014 that lost to Chelsea in the Champions League, that was a fucking big, big disappointment. You know what I mean? Like, that's a big disappointment when you have a team that fucking talented. That was, you know, one of the very best in Europe and should have showcased it. Whereas, you know, when this 08 team got knocked out by whoever fucking Milan or whoever it was that year, you get to these points, but like that team, even when it reached the quarterfinals, didn't deserve to go to semifinal because they were nowhere near like the top 4 teams in Europe. So, I mean, you know, those records, and especially, yeah, you look at the recent years, they didn't get out of the round of 16. It's like, well, yeah, Arsenal have been good enough to be a top 10 club in the world. Sure. Sure.
Yeah, right.
But not a top 5, not a top 6. So, I mean, that's as far as you're going to go. I mean, I think he's just kind of hitting par in that kind of sense. Like, you get to where, you know, maybe a little bit of luck, you could have gotten another round, but you probably would have been knocked out anyway because your team wasn't good enough to go deeper.
Right. But that's this. You think that's really changed from last year to this year? Because we've only added one player, so.
Well, no. But here's the thing. I think last we've done a little bit these past couple seasons. So I'm saying, let's just say specifically from like 08 to 2012, 2013. Okay, the teams in those seasons were not nearly good enough. I think last year we could have done better. Obviously, we should have beaten fucking Monaco. So I mean that's a big failure for me. Last season's a big aberration, and that's something that I think is. You know, we should really be fucking ruining that and make sure not to fuck that up this season. Whereas you look at these recent things, right? You said Monaco, sure, that sucks. But, you know, when you lose to Bayern, you lose to Barcelona in the past few years, when they've been teams that have gone to the final or have won, it's like, well, fuck, we haven't been good enough. So you got to go through. Look, all I'm hoping for is that we get out of the group stage. Maybe, you know, maybe we can bypass the Barcelona, Real Madrid, but anybody else. You know, we won't get Bayern. I guess that's the only good thing, right? Can't draw Bayern this season. But if we can bypass one of those, it's like, well, fuck it. You know, you're going to have to go up and beat, you know, maybe you got to beat Juventus, you know? They're not amazing this season, at least not so far. You know, maybe you got to beat Atletico. It's within the realm of possibility. I mean, if you're not good enough to do that, then you just don't deserve to be there. So I'm perfectly happy tackling a giant, but we just got to do that and make it count for once, which is something that we haven't done for much, much too long. So, Arsene, figure it out.
Agreed.
I mean, I the Champions League game, it'd be great. I don't know. I don't think we can win the competition, so it's kind of like...
All I'm asking for is to make a quarterfinal again, because... It just will give you belief to win a knockout tie, because the thing is, how many people in the squad are left that have been there when we won Champions League matches, you know, like have been to the quarterfinals. I mean, there's a few, but you know, it's been a while.
Yeah. There's not too many. But yeah, there's a few of them still around. Kieran Gibbs played in the semifinal, as I recall.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And there's quite a few of our core of those guys that were there, but you know, three quarters of the squad wasn't there. So it's tough. And so it's about time we do something to make it feel like this tournament matters to us, because you know, when it continues to be the same result year in, year out, it just gets tiring. But moving on. So the Champions League is back, and I'm still just as fucking excited as ever for it.
I'm not.
Well, you can go ahead and be a grouch.
That was the most depressing conversation.
No, yeah, right?
Just sitting back on my couch. God. Like,
depressing. Are you pouring the bourbon down your throat now? I'm sorry.
Not yet, I pushed you a drink.
This is the Pinecast. I hope you have a drink with you.
I have a Diet Dr. Pepper.
Oh, dear Lord.
I'm getting old.
You're supposed to just lie to me, okay? Just, you know... No. You're losing all your street cred, Martin.
Shattering the illusion.
That's all right, though. That's all right, though. But look, we have a one hell of a chance this week to make a real statement, you know? Not that Olympiacos – look, if we don't win against Olympiacos, it's, you know, fucking the bin bags come back out and the pitchforks will be back out. But you handle Olympiacos, you get back on track in the Champions League, and you go up against Manchester motherfucking United and Louis van Gaal and the rest of those – not so delightful bastards. Let's get our predictions, though, because this is what we always do here on the Pinecast. I need predictions for this game. I'm going to go to you, Joseph, first. What say you? What happens when Arsenal take on Manchester United this Sunday?
Oh, Sunday? We're going to win 2-0.
2-0. I like it.
And I will say Chamberlain and Alexis score.
I will. That would work quite nicely. Martin, your prediction, sir.
I think we're going to win 2-1. You know what? I'm going to say Ozil is going to pop up and score a big goal.
Yeah, and, you're fucking crazy.
And Giroud,
man, you're crazy.
Yeah,
Giroud,
late winner. Then,
man.
Huh?
Some of my best memories are Arsenal 2-1 victories over United, though. There's a few good ones.
Yeah.
Even that douchebag, the Dutch skunk, scoring that great one and breaking his foot at the same time. Remember that one? Like injury time or back post?
Good. Yeah.
Didn't Henry have a header? Was that a 2-1?
That was another 2-1. Those two, I think, were in successive seasons. That was like 05, 06, something like that. The good old days.
We used to beat the good Manchester old days. United. We actually beat them.
Those are great. Let's have a return to that. I'd love to see that. I'm gonna go with a 2-1. I really think we have everything that we need to make this happen. I see an Alexis goal, and I see a Ramsey goal. Ramsey has like an extra little thing with Manchester United. It's kind of like I was watching Aaron Rodgers today, and it's not the same thing. It's obviously not the same thing, but you know, it's just something like because. He chose not to go there, which is obviously different than the fucking American football that I was watching earlier. But, you know, he has this thing with him. I always felt like he always wanted to perform in front of Sir Alex Ferguson because he chose Arsenal over United. So he had a big goal. Remember Ramsey scored the goal when we beat them 1-0, which is one of the only wins we had in the past.
It's hard to forget because it is one of the only wins we've had.
Yeah, that was 2011. God, yeah. That was over 4 years ago.
was that what, our last league win over them? Is it really so. That? Oh God. Well,
yeah, we're pretty pitiful against them, to be honest.
Jesus Christ! All right, well then, yeah. So fucking Ramsey to get back on it to bring us another win. Him and Alexis, let's do it. And it'll be Memphis gets their goal.
I hope he breaks his foot out.
Yep, I can wish all the bad things on them. I'm all right with that. I don't know. We also have there's a couple of interesting matches in the league this weekend. There is a Merseyside derby, which comes at a very interesting time. You know, we had Everton having quite the monumental comeback. I didn't think they were going to get it done today. They went down 2-0 at West Brom and came back. Quite the fucking comeback. I missed the end of it. I saw them get back into it with the immediate goal from Lukaku. But yeah, Lukaku double, and they get on it. So they're coming in hot. Liverpool are in all sorts of a mess. I mean, yeah, they got the win against Villa, but I mean, where the fuck are they at with Rodgers, man? This guy, and this guy's a walking kook. Like, what the fuck is he talking about? Guys, Martin, give me your thoughts. Do you think who's going to win the Merseyside Derby, and what do you think about Brendan's position at Liverpool and where it's going to be?
I think Liverpool. Where? Which stadium is it?
Everton. It's at Goodison Park.
Maybe Everton could grab a draw. I don't know that I. As much as I like him as a pundit, I don't know that I really trust Roberto Martinez. In these big matches. And I do think Liverpool are a lot better with Sturridge. So I think Liverpool are probably going to steal a win there, but Rodgers has been, his transfer record is so abysmal. And he really, the only success he's had there is because he kind of fell basically ass backwards into Luis Suarez, who was, I think, head and shoulders the best player in the league. That season.
Right.
I think this was the make or break season for him, because maybe last year he had the injuries excuse and needed guys to settle in. But it just really, other than Coutinho, he hasn't really brought in guys that have done much. He sold Suarez, he sold Sterling, and as near as I can tell, he just mostly just pissed all that money away on guys that aren't that good. So I'll say this. I think he's either got to win a cup or finish in the top four, if not both, to keep his job. I think if he finishes top four, he'll keep the job. But I think they're out there looking, and, you know, if Jurgen Klopp had shown the least amount of interest in the job, I think Rodgers would be, you know, on his way out the door already, if not very soon. I think they're pretty disenchanted with him, and rightfully so. I just don't know that he's really shown anything, but I'll also say I don't know that that's that good of a job anymore. You know, I think they still have the idea that they should be entitled to finish in the top four and be in the Champions League every year, because historically they did that. But I don't know that they've really got the revenue to support those ambitions anymore. And certainly their current squad, I don't think is on the level of even Arsenal. You know, I would take Arsenal's squad, you know, over Liverpool any day of the week. I think they're well off the actual top four teams in terms of squad strength. And frankly, I think Tottenham may be better than they are. I really don't think Rodgers has accomplished much other than this year. And I just don't know. I don't know why you'd keep him around at this point unless he pulls a rabbit out of his hat.
Well, thank you very much for making that point about the job, because it has been pretty fucking hilarious seeing these Liverpool fans, you know, talking about Klopp and all the bullshit, you know, and the shit made the rounds on Twitter, right, about the fans trying to wear the glasses and the jackets to the games and all that kind of shit. I mean, it's just pretty ridiculous. You know, is there a hotter free agent coach that's unsigned at the moment? No. Like
Ancelotti.
Okay. So there's two. Yep. Ancelotti is the one with the big pedigree and the record, and you know he won't go to fucking Liverpool.
Nope.
No.
They're not even that delusional enough to make that fucking joke. But they think that Klopp, being as hot as he is going to go to a club that's not in the fucking Champions League, nor do they look like they're going to make the Champions League next season with a squad like this. It is an absolute fucking joke, but it's lovely. Like, I love them. I love all the clickbait shit. I love that they're doing all this to them because it's so ridiculous. Like, he will not be their manager. This is not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't understand why any top manager would go anywhere near that club at all in the position they are in. They're redeveloping the stadium. They have a lot of commitments, in salary for the next 5 years to all these young players. They're not building for a championship. They're hoping and praying to get into the Champions League. That's it. So I don't know why any top manager would go there. It'd be a waste.
Yeah, I mean,
there's better jobs coming up. There's better jobs that are going to be available.
If they could sneak into fourth, I think with the promise of the additional revenue, they could probably go out and make like one impact signing. They could try to, like, you know, they're not going to find the next Suarez, but they could probably go out and spend $40 million on one player.
Right, but what player? I mean, you choose any £40 million player that might be available that wants to go there and play with that squad.
Yeah,
it would have to all be on the manager. It would have to be such a good manager that player wants to specifically play for that manager, you know?
And the problem is they can't likely get that manager. So it's a wonderful cycle that I am going to laugh and enjoy.
But I agree with Martin that I have zero faith in Everton when it comes to these matches.
Right.
I mean, they should. They're in good form. They're not in great form, but they're in good form attacking wise. Obviously, their defense
after the second half today, yeah.
Right, but they just you know they bring Everton in like on a good run or in good form, and then coming up against a big team, they fall flat. They have a tendency to fall flat. Not against Arsenal, but against other clubs, they
right,
fall flat.
Right. Yeah, but you can see what they do. I mean, honestly, I think, look, it's so bad that I think if Brennan were to lose this match, I think he might be out of a job.
Here's the thing about Everton that they possess right now that Liverpool does not, is they have a team of players playing for Everton that are really connected to that, you know, to the club and the supporters and everything. And Liverpool don't do that because they got a bunch of guys from all over the place that are still gelling. And you don't have Gerrard in that team. You don't have Henderson, who was trying to, you know, kind of hold that together.
Yeah.
But they don't have that. And I think Everton will – the benefit they have this time is they're going to just – so I just hope that they're able to just beat the shit out of Liverpool.
That would be great.
Yeah. It would be wonderful.
I would go on the record with saying that.
Yeah.
That's my addition to the conversation.
I would love this. Please, let's see this happen. There's one other match that I'd like to just go over just very quickly. We have we saw how Newcastle played a pretty decent spoiler this past week for Chelsea, which was enjoyable. They take on City. You guys think there's any chance that City drop points against Newcastle? I mean, look, City's at home. Martin, any chance there? What do you think?
Yeah. Another thing I would like to see happen. But no, I think just these past couple of years, City's generally been so good at home. And even though they're definitely not playing very well at the moment, I don't really trust Newcastle. I think that was more, that result against Chelsea was more just Chelsea being in disarray, than it was Newcastle doing anything great. So I don't know. This feels like one of those ones where Manchester City's going to score.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a 4-1 to City.
I think about the same.
To be talking. And, you know, it's one of those things like in Newcastle, like you get that good result. Like, you know, you get a good result. That's good for a few weeks. You can take a few matches off, you know. I mean, granted, they didn't get the win, but still.
Yeah, if they got the win, then maybe for sure they take the week off. But, yeah, I'd be really surprised if they're able to score.
Yeah. I'm going to say an easy City victory. Agreed. Well, I think that wraps up all of the important matches. I guess. Well, there's Chelsea face Southampton, which is another. That's not fucking easy either. Wow, I didn't even see that.
It shouldn't be easy, but Southampton have been kind of patchy.
Yeah, quite patchy. But you know, another chance for them to fuck
up.
Let's
hopefully hit that, you know, purple patch right now. And
yep.
Take some points.
That'd be great. Do it.
Any points is great.
Well, that's what I said. Like, yeah. I'm not getting greedy. Like, I picked and bet the draw for Chelsea at the weekend, you know, and it was 2-0 pretty late. I was like, oh shit, well, I'll happily lose my bet if they lose. But I mean, I wasn't greedy. I just wanted them to drop points, and they did that, which is just long may it continue. Pretty pleased.
Yeah. And you know, and as much as we talk about it's still early in the season, there's so much left to play. Like, we can't make any definitive judgments, all of which is totally true. You know, falling 10 points or more off the pace, no matter when in the season it happens, that's really tough to make up. Like, yeah. I would still bet my house that Chelsea figures out a way to get back into the top four. I feel pretty confident they will, but right. You know, if Man City win and Chelsea don't, or Man United win, you know, God forbid, but you know, I just think if Chelsea fall 10 points behind, I mean, that's a lot of ground to make up on a good team.
Yeah.
You know, you really have to play the rest of the season almost perfectly. You just can't drop many points. And so I do think Chelsea are falling into a kind of red zone where they actually really need to stay within, you know, striking distance of the top.
Sure. Yeah. So, they need to get back on track, but hope, you know, let's pray that they don't. I'm totally for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, gentlemen, it's been a wonderful time talking to you, as always. Follow these fine fellows on Twitter. Follow Martin at HeisenbergCamp. Follow Joseph at I Hate Your Club. It's an exciting week. Champions League is back. So let's get back on track there, and then let's handle Manchester United at the weekend. For those of you in L.A., we will be at the Fox and Hounds. Come out, join the L.A. Gooners. It will be a good time. Joseph, can we sneak you out there Sunday, maybe?
Sunday?
Yeah.
Maybe. What's it, 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock. I think we can do this, right?
Oh, we might be able to do this.
All right. Well, maybe it'll be a rare sighting of Joseph, but he only comes to wins now. He used to come to losses, but now he only comes to wins. This past.
Yeah, it's pretty well known for those losses for a while.
You were. But you're on a good streak the other way, so long may it continue. You're going to show up, and we're going to handle Manchester United. So if you're in the area, come join us, have a beer, mention the podcast, and I'll buy you one. But, yeah, do that. So thanks, guys. Check it out. Enjoy the football at the weekend. We'll be back next week. Talk to you later.
Thanks.
Think of us again.